Welcome to the Legacy Homeschool Reflections Podcast. My name is Matt Adams, and I'm filling in for my lovely wife, Ruth, today. I'm primarily going to be speaking to homeschooling fathers today. So ladies, all of you homeschooling mamas out there who normally tune in to hear my wife's perspective and benefit from her years of experience with homeschooling, you may want to grab your husband to listen with you or send the link to him. I'm going to be covering some of the topics I address in my little book, Ordinary Homeschool Dad. So today's legacy verse is Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I want to begin by talking about the biblical perspective on the marriage relationship. In Matthew 19:5, Jesus defines marriage when he quotes Genesis saying, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." King James says that to cleave to his wife. New American Standard says to be joined to his wife. And NIV says to be united with his wife. They all make sense. I like the way the ESV put it, the way I read it at first there, to hold fast to his wife. However you say it, marriage, as defined by Jesus, is to be a close, intimate relationship that we must protect. Jesus goes on to say, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." We must guard our marriages so that we stay united, holding fast to one another. That said, there are many things which can pull us apart. We can point to things like busy schedules and media, you know, TV and smartphones and things like this. But really, there's one thing that will pull our marriage apart, and that is sin. And sin comes from three sources. Those sources, according to Scripture, are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the world, that is the systems of the secular thought that are so prevalent in our culture today, you know, that are trying to force us to have an unbiblical worldview. This is what Paul speaks of in Romans 12 when he says, "Do not be conformed to this world or the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that is done by studying the Scripture, as Hebrews 4:12 says, that the Word of God is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And then secondly, the flesh. Our flesh wars against us. Paul talks about that as well, that war between the flesh and the spirit. He tells us to walk in the spirit. We will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And the devil, of course, Satan loves to destroy marriages. He knows that when you break down the marriage, that you destroy the very bedrock of a culture, of a society. And that is why you see that marriage is under such an attack in our culture today. We've pushed our Christian heritage out of the way, and Satan has an all-out attack on marriage, destroying that very fundamental building block of society. So again, the world, the flesh, and the devil are all attempting to cause us to sin and to stop us from holding fast to our wives. But thankfully, there is much in Scripture to help us have a great marriage that honors God, that provides fulfillment and security for our children, and can bring us much joy in life. The first thing to think about is, when you think of marriage, think about that our wives are a gift from God. Proverbs 18:22, it says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and obtains favor from the Lord." Our wives are God's way of showing favor to us. They are a blessing from God. And we need to think about them in those terms. And when times come where we don't feel like our wives are such a blessing, you know, we don't feel like they're being a blessing to us, we need to think about that God has shown favor to us by giving us a wife. Both you and your wife are sinners, and you will sin, causing hurt feelings, you know, towards one another. That's going to happen. That is often rooted, though, in selfish desires not getting met. When our selfish desires are not met, that often ends up causing a problem, causes hurt feelings, causes discord. So we get upset, we get frustrated, and we don't feel that favor of God that the Lord has said He gives us in our marriage. But those are the times, think about this, those are the times we especially need to remember this. When we don't feel loved or we don't feel like our needs are getting met, we need to especially remember that our wife is a gift from God, that He has shown favor to us by giving us a wife. When we get frustrated with our wife, we need to step back, take a deep breath, and pray a little prayer, asking God to help us remember the gift and blessing and favor we have been given in our wife, and recognize when sin is trying to divide us, you know, where is the world or our own flesh or the devil trying to split, trying to ruin the unity that we need to have in marriage? So now I want to look at the legacy verse of today, and that's in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 25. I'll read a little bit more here, but it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that He might be holy, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of His body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." It is interesting. In Ephesians 5, God gives us an example of the relationship between Christ and His bride, the church. Marriage between a husband and wife is an example of Jesus Christ's relationship to the church. This is a gospel issue. Christ died on the cross to redeem the church. He paid our penalty for sin on the cross for His bride. We are part of His bride. And He uses marriage as the example of that relationship. So now, coming from the other direction, looking at marriage, does our marriage reflect that relationship? Does it? Does the way you and your wife live out your marriage point to Jesus Christ? When others look at our marriage, do they see Christ's atoning work for sin? Do they see His forgiveness? When people see us, do they say, "Y'all just have such a beautiful relationship. How do you keep your marriage strong?" When they do, it's a perfect opportunity to share the gospel, to talk to them about the beautiful work Christ Jesus has done to save His people, how Christ has redeemed His bride. And it points to the gospel. If our marriages are not pointing to that relationship between Christ and the church, if there's discord, if we go along with the negative jokes about marriage, you know the things people say, about their wives and you know, the ugly things, the belittling things you might hear at work. Does that point others to our Savior? Of course not. It is important. It's important to think about these things. What does our marriage say to the world around us? So what does this look like? He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How did Jesus give himself up for his bride? Well, he died. You know, he gave up his life. The most unselfish act in all of history. God, who created this entire world through Jesus Christ, then became a man, came into this world, lived a perfect life, and then gave it up for his bride. And he tells us men to love our wives as I love my bride, and give yourself up for her. This is what he says to us. Do you love your wife like that? Or do you live your life in such a way? Do you give your life for your wife? How do we do that? How do we give our lives? You know, we're not going to go nail ourselves to a cross. How do we go about living a life, giving up our life for our wives? You know, homeschooling dads, your wife is home all day, every day, teaching your children. When you get home in the evening, is it time at that point to go lock yourself in the man cave, turn on the TV, veg out? Or do you get home and gather up your children, pick up where your wife left off so that she can get a break? Do you spend all weekend on the couch watching TV, watching football? And, or do you say, honey, you've had a long week, go out, get a break, you know, go enjoy some time off. I got this, you know, you're a dad, you're a man, you can do this. Gird up your loins. How can you give up your life for your wife? I know most of you guys listening to this, that's probably not who you are. You know your wife needs a break. You know, she needs you, and you know that. And she needs you to take the leadership with the children, and I'm sure you guys are working hard to be that man that she needs. But we all have blind spots. We all have those areas in the flesh that are so hard to overcome. But I encourage you to think hard about this. Where am I not giving up my life for my bride? Where am I demanding my selfish desire to be met and not loving her as Christ loved the church? Think about it. Pray about it and ask God to reveal to you where you can be more like him. You know, Peter points out an area that I think most men struggle. They struggle with it in our marriage relationship. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I want to focus on that first part. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Do you live with your wife in an understanding way? I sometimes chuckle a little bit when I think about this. It doesn't say, husbands, understand your wife, because God is not asking the impossible. Men and women are so different. You know, sometimes it's very difficult it's a challenge to understand where our wife is coming from. But no, it says, live with your wives in an understanding way. And what does that look like? I know for me, when my wife has had a really hard day, you know, she's had one child sick, maybe throwing up, another one's having a bad attitude, another didn't finish her homework, her schoolwork, The laundry's piled up a mile high. She overcooked the spaghetti. She's exhausted. And when I get home from work, you know, she tells me everything that went wrong. And, you know, my natural reaction, my first natural response is to say, well, you just need to do this, this, and this, and you need to stop doing this, this, and this, and that'll take care of it. Then you can move on. You don't have to get so down about it. But that doesn't fly. That does not go over well. That just doesn't work. So that's going to really crush her. You know, she doesn't need to hear all my solutions. Chances are she actually already knows what needs to be done. She knows where she may have gone wrong. You know, she needs to have an understanding response. She needs you, she needs me, my wife needs to have me to have compassion. Believe me, I have messed up here more than once. My wife needs me to show understanding and say, sweetheart, I'm really sorry you had a rough day. I understand how you must be absolutely exhausted. I would feel completely overwhelmed myself. But you know what, sweetheart? You're doing a great job. Thank you for working so hard. You know, I see the fruit of what you're doing in the kids, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud that you are the mother of my children. Thank you. You know what, honey, let's pray it and ask God for his help in these areas. You know, and take her by the hand and lead her into the arms of Jesus. You know, that is life-giving to her. And that is living with her in an understanding way. And that's showing honor to her. And let's not forget that warning there at the end of 1 Peter 7. It says, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. When we are not living with our wives in an understanding way, we could be hindering our prayers. How does that work? I don't know. But that is the warning given in Scripture here. And we should take it very seriously. So let's boil this down. Do we recognize the gift that she is and love her as that gift? You know, 1 Corinthians 13, of course, tells us what love looks like. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So much there, but let's quickly look at how Scripture describes love here. It is patient. Husbands, are you patient with your wife? Or do you quickly get angry? You remember James 1 says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Love is kind. Are you kind to your wife? Or are you grumpy and bossy? Love does not envy. Do you show envy by saying things like, well, you just stay home all day, I have to go to work? Or do you have humility and recognize her for the hard work she does do at home? Love does not boast. Do you always have to one-up your wife? Or do you praise her and talk about what good things she has done? Love is not arrogant. Do you brag about all that you accomplish at work? Or do you build her up for all she does? Love is not rude. Don't be rude. Don't be rude to your wife. Love does not insist on its own way. Is it your way or the highway? Or do you listen to your wife's opinion and come to united decisions? Remember that you're to hold fast to your wife and not be divided. Love is not irritable. Don't be irritable. I know sometimes we're tired and it's easy to be irritable, but don't be a grumpy old man who complains about everything. Be a life giver. Speak about the joy of the Lord. God is good, and we can always point to something good He has done. So to quickly finish this off, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Are we that solid rock that our family can depend on when things are tough? Bearing all things, believing in the promises of God and sharing that belief, that faith with your family, giving hope to your family, demonstrating endurance. Romans 5, 3 through 5, one of my favorite passages says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Oh, we have an eternal hope. And that's not hope. I hope it doesn't rain anymore. It's an assurance because of the love of Christ has shown us by dying on the cross for us. Show that love to your family even when things get tough. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. All right, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Thank you for listening. Again, I wrote about this as well as a number of other things in this little book called Ordinary Homeschool Dad. It's a quick and easy read. In it I talk about developing a prayer life. I talk about some practical things that you can do to help your wife with the homeschool, help your children. I talk about family worship and then teaching your children to defend their faith. Apologetics is probably my favorite chapter. I did a lot of research there. So it's an easy book, but hopefully it will be helpful to you on your journey being an ordinary homeschool dad yourself. And don't forget, ladies, check out my wife's book, Legacy, Reflections of a Homeschooling Mama. It has some great encouragement for all you homeschooling mamas out there. And drawing on her experience being homeschooled herself and now homeschooling our 7 children. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in. Y'all have a blessed day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.